The sand is running out of the hourglass in 2020. I know I speak for a lot of people when I say good riddance. But as hard as the year has been, the hours spent at home ping-ponging between horrifying uncertainty and monotonous predictability, there are things that we can look back on as revealing moments about how we live and work today. One that I hope we continue was the conversation that was sparked this summer about the experiences of Black people in this country. This week, in our final episode of 2020, that's right, there's no podcast episode next week, we're doing something a little different. I'm playing an interview that I did recently with Pharrell Williams and Willis Selden. Pharrell, you may know as the hugely successful music artist and producer, he's also becoming increasingly interested in the venture capital and investing space. In July, our VC reporter Kate Clark actually broke the news that he was teaming up with Ron Conway to form a new venture fund. Willa has worked in venture capital herself and is also highly active as an executive and advisor in the nonprofit space. She's currently a partner at Bridgespan, a nonprofit focusing on social change. The two teamed up to work on an initiative called Black Ambition, a nonprofit created to support Black and Latinx entrepreneurs. One of its first endeavors is the Black Ambition Prize. That's a startup competition that awards prizes to companies with at least one co-founder who is Black or Latinx. There's another competition, one that partnered with HBCUs. To get all the details on Black Ambition and its competitions, you should go to their website, blackambitionprize.com. So my conversation with Pharrell and Willa looked at their own experiences as Black entrepreneurs, also what they think non-minority investors and other gatekeepers in the industry don't understand about those experiences, and how this can all change. It was a great talk. Let's get to it now. So I've got Willa Selden and Pharrell Williams here, who are going to be talking to me about the Black Ambition Prize, which is a very ambitious effort to kind of help seed and assist the Black and Latinx community in the entrepreneurial space. And there's a lot to talk about here, but I think we should probably just off the bat just sort of explain on a personal standpoint, you know, what your, you know, both Willa and Pharrell, your experiences are as, you know, a successful Black entrepreneur. You know, what it's been like getting, you know, in the industry to this point.
I didn't know the challenges like I know now. And that is because the beginning of my career was purely music and music only. And I started to get into these other things. And it came a bit easy because I was a musician. I worked twice as hard. But then when I would start to really just listen beyond my own opportunities and my own successes and accomplishments, or even failures, when I listened beyond myself and I saw what my brothers and sisters were going through, it became very apparent that more apparent than what you would imagine or what you would read sometime, it became really apparent that, you know, there's a bottleneck into these different industries and sectors. That had been bubbling for a while, that there was an issue, and we hadn't quite figured out or even been inspired to really do something in the way that we have of what we've been working on in the last year. Exposure is not enough, because oftentimes our exposure as African Americans is usually transmuted into somebody else's success and somebody else's bottom line. You know, there's a $3 trillion industry that's influenced by us. Right. But when you look at who is receiving it and who it's going to, it's almost the complete reverse. Exposure of us and our likenesses has been traded on, but not the equity. And so this is when we realized that we needed to do something. You know, I needed to use my gift of galvanizing and seeing the potential in people to do more than just music and apparel and footwear. But I needed to put a team together that could take this notion, this realization of Black ambition, and reverse engineer it into real, true nuts and bolts that's actionable and demonstrable. And that's what I feel like this team has been able to do, along with the amazing core part of it, which is the, you know, the partnerships with the HBCUs, with the historic Black colleges and universities. And I can't tell you how exciting it is, because again, this is not, I often read Pharrell's new initiative. No, it's not. It's my people's initiative. It's the Goodwill's initiative. It is the American initiative. It's what's supposed to happen.
Why do you think it is, as an artist, and Willa maybe as a business person or someone who's worked in that industry, that, you know, black artists will obviously get to a huge amount of recognition. But like you mentioned, from an equity standpoint, they seem to be missing out. They're not in those kind of higher level positions. I mean, what is it that you think allows for there to be a certain level of success that, you know, black and Latinx individuals can reach, but when it gets to, you know, the kind of corporate executive level where, frankly, a lot of the bigger money is made and the bigger decisions are made, they haven't had the same kind of opportunity?
A few things, Tom. So when you look at black-owned businesses, basically a new black-owned business gets about a third of the capital that other businesses get in terms of white-owned businesses. So you start automatically with a gap in funding, which we know funding is so critical to success of an entrepreneurial venture. So just the system, the setup is tough. You know, we can see now that when you look at the data, black women entrepreneurs are doing an amazing job of starting businesses. But when you look at the kind of investment that they're able to get and to garner to really build their companies, you know, they're limited in terms of the success that's possible just because the system is set up not to allow capital to flow in the ways that it might, that could really help these businesses to be successful. Debt, similarly, you know, you're a third less likely to get debt if you're a black entrepreneur. So those things that are kind of the key ingredients, it's not just about your creativity and your brilliance. It really takes those other ingredients that really help you to build ultimately very successful, sizable businesses. And so that's part of what Black Ambition is about, is trying to even the playing field so that we can really allow this brilliance to materialize into wealth and to successful ventures and jobs and community progress.
I would say, you know, I would compare it to, you know, when people say, like, when our other brothers and sisters of other ethnicities and origins would say, what do you mean? Is everybody's free to do whatever? And it's kind of like, well, no, the narrative is not as democratic as we would like to think it is, right? I mean, when you're giving all the options, democracy is an illusion. You know what I mean? You're given choices. Think of it like, think of our country less like a country and more of like a company. And the citizens are less like citizens and more of a consumer base, right? But the consumer base, as much as they feel like they're in control, they only have the choices of what the companies offer them. So let's take it a step further and say Disney World, right? You've been to Disney World?
Sure. Long time ago.
So if you think about Disney World, right, you've seen like the different games you can play. You've seen places where you can pick up food. And then you've also seen the rides. And for whatever reason, you've never seen the machines that control all these things. They're there, but they're not visible to the consumer base. And so when you walk in, you say, oh, I'm going to go over here and take this ride. Okay, well, you know what? Me and my friends, we're going to go over here and take that ride. Yeah, you have their choices. But those choices were created by a group of people who designed the park, who gave you a limited amount of choices, right? They agreed on what they thought the best set of choices would be for the people. And so when you're born there and you don't realize, A, there is someone who has created this matrix, or a group of people who have created this matrix, then if you want to make it equitable, you got to become part of that creative board. And you also have to start influencing and building new machines. And that's what we're trying to do in our country of America, right? That's our Disney World.
For entrepreneurs, giving them the experience of effectively making the pitch and then being given a true fair shot on the venture side is going to take, I think, meaningful intervention. It's hard to imagine that the system could be fair where basically people of color entrepreneurs get 3% of the capital. In a system that has extraordinary opportunity for entrepreneurship, something's wrong with the system. So if you look at the data across so many of these areas, something has to be wrong with the system for it to have the results that we have.
And what about you, Pharrell? I mean, you've obviously achieved a huge amount of success as an artist. And, you know, I would say in the music industry, it seems like, you know, there are quite a few black artists and Latinx artists who have achieved widespread success. But is there still, you think, a misconception of among, you know, the people that run these companies about what it takes to get there and what sort of the broader responsibility they have to the community?
So there's two things I would say. Number one, you know, we would think that these industries are pretty much run by liberals, right? But what does that really mean? Because I'm pretty sure if you had a really honest conversation with someone, a real one, like a universal one, right? If you believe in God or some sort of supreme being, just let's say you don't, for all intents and purposes of what I'm, the context I'm using right now, as liberal as you think you are, I bet I can find some departments in your life and in your opinions that are very conservative. Right. And I could say the same thing for somebody that thinks that they are diehard, staunch conservative. You'll find that if you look in their lives, there are some things that they do that's probably deemed a little bit more liberal. Right. So the thing is when people feel like they're super liberal, unfortunately, there starts to be a hubris that grows. Right. And you think, well, I'm a liberal, so I do all the good things. And, you know, I'm right and I'm this and I'm that. And I've seen it. I've seen amazing people who do great things who are liberal feel like they're right just because they've done so much good. And that's where the hubris kicks in. And that's what hurts us, because that's a blind spot. So you have a person that feels like they're super liberal because they do all these great things. But then they have these blind spots that actually end up hurting us. It actually ends up hurting people of color. So the first thing is to humble yourself and realize that you don't have all the answers, and do more asking questions than assuming. You know, ask questions, ask us what we're going through, ask us what we need. Just because you're willing to walk hand in hand with us while we're in the street protesting doesn't mean that you're going to make everything right and make a really fair, equitable deal when you're talking to a person of color, you know? It's the hubris that's killing us, man. If you walk into the conversation with humility, then we're halfway there, because now you're going to ask the questions, the right questions that help you make the right deal. And then you'll know that you're lifting somebody. See, the thing about hubris, and especially when you're liberal, because you're liberal and you want to be fair to everybody, you think, you know what? Well, I'm shining. I'm in the light. But guess what? As we all know, even when you're standing in the light, because you're a human, you have a shadow. That's your blind spot. So the number one thing that our brothers and sisters of other ethnicities could do when they're going into these deals is ask us questions. You know, your lawyers are going to do what they're going to do, but ask us questions. Hey, what do you need? And I guarantee you the number one thing is going to, aside from capital, is going to be mentorship.
What do you think you can achieve with Black Ambition that will at least give some people a better leg up in opportunity?
We know that in terms of starting successful businesses, you need a few things. You need to have an idea and a dream for what you want to accomplish. You need to have an encouragement for that because it's hard starting a new business. You need to have mentors that help you along the way and help to be a guide to you. And also, you know, someone that's basically helping you avoid the rat trails that aren't that useful for you to go down.
Like, I just think it's important. You know, like when people look at my sneakers, sometimes I walk in the studio and they're like, oh man, those sneakers are so hard. Yo, you're killing it. And I'm like, yeah. But you're looking at more than just the materials. What you're looking at is a comprehensive team's work. And all those people need to know how important they are. You know, just like the builders of the pyramid, man, it's not just, you know, the limestone and the granite and the system that it is. It's also the idea of what, you know, the architect had envisaged. And in that case, that's why I wanted Willa on here with me. I wanted you guys to not only hear a more comprehensive, granular explanation on the details, but I also wanted you to hear from the architect. I think that's important. I think people should know. You know, it's an African-American woman who's the architect of this. You know, I never forget when Ron Conway, we first started talking to him over a dinner, and he said, I got an idea. You know, he called me and his first thing was, you know who we need? We need to talk to Bridgespan. And that's what we did. And that's when he got us a partner. I'm proud to also let the people know that this is a partner in that firm. Like, this is a really big deal. And the idea, again, that we're involving historic Black colleges and universities as our core partner for the aspect of that prize is, man, People always talking about giving back, but no, we're giving forward.
You guys have some interesting investors on board. As I was looking through it, I mean, I saw Visa, Adidas, Jonah Peretti, Chan Zuckerberg also, you know, obviously everyone knows who they are around here. What was kind of the process in getting those people to, you know, on board, and how important was that?
Man, there's been a team of us. We're out there, you know, we're looking for it like forensics, you know, we're finding the people who, you know, when we talk to them about this, that sparkle in their eyes, you know, for how systemically necessary this is for the company that is America and its beloved consumer base. You know, that's when they start to go, oh, you know what? Yeah, we need to consider that. You know, our consumer base is thinking about these things. We need to let them know that we see it, we hear it, and we not only want to get behind it, get in front of it, but we want to partner. And then I also wanted to point out to you, Tom, that, you know, our logo is not, you know, black with the bold letters in white. Our logo literally is like the blue sky with the sky writing that says Black Ambition.
What does that mean to you?
It just means that when everybody looks up into the sky, like, we're all seeing the same thing, you know, and our ambitions are up there. You know, our enslaved ancestors, when they looked at the sky, they just saw the blue sky and they saw the clouds and they were hoping for things. And maybe they even at some points had some bouts of pareidolia and they looked in the cloud and maybe saw freedom, the freedom that would eventually come. But this generation, we see Black Ambition written up there. It's our time. This is for our ancestors, our enslaved ancestors and the ones that were freed.
Thank you so much for this. This is, you know, a truly ambitious thing, and I'd love to get the winner for it on the show sometime to kind of talk about their process and what they're working on. So, Pharrell, Willa, thank you so much for joining, and let's do this again sometime. I think this is an important topic I'd love to discuss soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom. Absolutely. Thank you, as always, Pharrell.
Tom, thank you.
That's this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much also to Pharrell and Willa for joining and talking about Black Ambition. If you want more information, like I said, go to their website, blackambitionprize.com. And that's a wrap also on 2020. I want to thank you all listeners out there for tuning in week in and week out to hear our podcast and all the people that we've interviewed, Corey Weinberg, my co-host, all of the other reporters at The Information, and the guests who come on and explain to us how the tech world works. A lot more coming at you in 2021. I would be remiss, by the way, if I didn't end the year by thanking Ariella Markowitz, our fantastic producer who joined us this year and has made our show so much better. Thanks, Ariella. And thank you all. See you back here next year in 2021.